Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today we will be talking about supporting and strengthening women. I'm joined with three special guests, which, by the way, I am just really thrilled about this experience. And before we started, I couldn't think whether or not I should be kneeling or bowing or clapping or cheering. We will be joined today by the three presidents of the Young Women, of the Primary, and of the Relief Society. So I have with me today Linda Burton, the Relief Society General President. Welcome, Linda.
Thanks, Matt, for the invitation.
It's so nice to have you here.
It's nice to be here.
Rosemary Wixom, who is the Primary General President.
Oh, thank you. I, too, am so grateful to be here.
And Bonnie Oskerson, who's the Young Women General President.
So happy to be here. Thank you.
Now, when I was coming up this morning, my wife said, you know, you'll be in the room with three of my most favorite women on the planet. Now, that's quite a compliment. And I love the way that she said that. She didn't say my most favorite presidents on the planet. She didn't use any type of a title or anything like that, although I will never take away from your responsibilities that you have been given. But she mentioned about three of my favorite women. And I think that that's something that needs to be pointed out. Sometimes in the world that we're living in, we focus so much on titles and on jobs and on circumstances that we forget the core element of who we are at our very base. And I must say that I know you personally, as I would concur that you are of my most favorite women, because I would have to put my wife right up there as well. You are all women of faith. You are wives. You are mothers and grandmothers. You have had the opportunity to be around women in domestic situations in the United States and internationally. And so I am excited to find out what you are experiencing, what you are seeing, what you are, what women are dealing with all over the world that might be able to provide some insight on how we can sustain and support women who are seeking the blessings of our Father in heaven. Does that sound fair? And we're just going to do this in a few minutes, right? So just spout forth all of the wisdom that is just going to be bubbling forth. So with that in mind, let me just ask, given the responsibility being a president of worldwide organizations that deal with the young women of the church, for example. So Sister Oskerson, what are we talking about here? This is a lot of young women, right?
We have approximately 500,000 young women in the church.
And do you stay up at night worrying about those 500,000 young women or just 10% of them?
Oh, pretty much all of them. So I don't know that I stay awake. I have a lot of confidence in the young women of the church.
That's great.
Yeah, I think they're amazing, and I think they're stronger than I was at that age.
And sometimes we don't think about this, but it's not just the young women that you're dealing with, but you're dealing with leaders of young women as well. So this is an organization that deals with the youth as well as really women of the church as well.
It's true. There's quite a large staff of women that serve the young women, and they are dedicated and devoted to and love their callings.
This is great. And you've been around the world meeting with young women and leaders throughout the world and had a lot of experience with them.
Well, I'm the new one here. I've only been in a year, so I have less.
So just half of the world.
Just half of the world, right? we're working on the rest.
This is great. Rosemary, you're in a situation with Primary where you're dealing with both with children, both male and female children. And yet you also have a large staff, a lot of women who are working within the Primary organization.
Yes. And if there's a Primary teacher or a member of the Primary Presidency, or if you're serving in Primary in any capacity out there, I say, we love you. You just make such a difference in these children's lives. Every one of us can remember a Primary teacher. If you went to Primary, you can remember someone who had an influence on you.
That's so true. As a matter of fact, I almost get emotional as you're talking, thinking about that as not only names, but faces of individuals from my youth that come up that I hope that I said thank you, but I probably did not when I was in primary as much as I should have. And I have grown to love and cherish those individuals for their contribution. So you're right. You are right.
Oh, they're precious.
They are. And Linda, a worldwide organization of women, it's quite large.
It's pretty large. There's about 7 million of us, which of course includes our wonderful sisters that work in primary and in young women whom we adore and love and thank them for the work that they do as well. And having been in primary and young women myself for many years, I have a very tender spot for these wonderful women who are dedicated and love those that they work for. Poor to bless.
This is wonderful. So with this in mind, with your experience and your responsibilities that you have been given with a special blessing or a setting apart from those which we consider to be prophets, seers, and revelators, what have you been noticing amongst the women in the world, in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? What is on their minds? What are they thinking about? What are they dealing with? What bubbles up when you start to think of the women out there in the world?
I believe that women have a natural instinct to nurture, to share, to give, to bless. And some of their circumstances contribute to how they nurture.
Okay.
And some of those circumstances are difficult, but in every effort, in every heart, is a desire to rise above and to conquer and to follow the Savior. They choose and want to be disciples of Christ.
This is really good. As a matter of fact, I find it very powerful. You're using a word that we see throughout the Scripture in a lot of different audiences, the word nurturing. Now, be patient with me on this one because I'm the student here, so teach me on this one. When you use the word nurture, a lot of people wonder what we mean by that. What do we mean by nurture, to nurture, or nurturing? And I hear this quite frequently. I've heard this in general conferences, in the Scriptures as mentioned, about women being nurturers. And some people, I've had a lot of young women come to me and say, what does that really mean? What are we talking about when we say nurture? So help me with this. Thoughts on this?
It's a feeling in your heart that's just planted there by your Father in heaven. I was interested. Just about a week ago, I was in a beauty salon. And here were these beautiful women all over the place. And a man walks in with his two children. One's a one-month-old baby, and the other one's 18 months. And it was just, he kind of had the deer in the headlights look like, what do I do? His wife was actually working. She was doing someone's hair. And he walked in, and it was like the whole world stopped. Every woman in that salon stopped and ran over and washed their hands and said, I want to hold the baby. I want to hold the baby. And for the minute, the whole world stopped. And I just thought, that's what's in our hearts. We have a natural inclination to want to love and put our arms around. And it was amazing to me. I thought it was a beautiful illustration of what's in our hearts as women.
That is a great
example. Binds us together.
I can always tell when a child or a baby has been brought into our office. I can hear all of the secretaries and the other people that work there just starting to go, oh, and gather, you know, and I know that there's a child in the office because I think there is a tenderness inside of women that we are naturally drawn to those that are younger, maybe need some comforting or care or special needs. I think that just, it draws it out of us.
Of any age. I like that.
In any circumstance.
Okay, this is good too. Yeah.
We have several of those that work in the office that aren't married, but they're right there in the front running to
cooing and
cooing and eyeing
over the children. And
this is really insightful. I think sometimes from my own experience, my wife will ask me after I've had a conversation with someone, she'll start asking me questions. So what about this? And are they doing that? And I'm like, I don't know the answer to that. Well, what about this part? I didn't ask that question either. And she's asking me all these really great questions, and it never even dawned on me that I should be asking these questions or didn't come on my horizon. I kind of had maybe an agenda or I was busy. I'm not sure. But maybe just to illustrate the point, and I hope that this is fair, is she has an interesting perspective when she's talking with humanity, where she's delving into humanity. And she's talking about them as individuals and people and asking questions about their lives, not necessarily about their task at hand, which was the reason for which we were meeting. Rosemary?
Do you think that women have a natural desire to go deeper? I think their motives are pure, and they choose to have feelings about things. They choose to reach out and to really know and feel another person.
You know, I would agree with that. At least that's been my experience, is there is that inclination. You said something else that I think is really valuable, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this, is at first we were talking about they have a tendency, a blessing, a predisposition, a gift, a talent for nurturing, compassion, delving deeper, etc. And then, Rosemary, you just said something here that I think is fascinating, is they choose to do something. They choose to do this. They choose to act. So what do we do with this? I hear this sometimes, is some women will say, well I hear prophets, seers, and revelators say that I have these blessings and I'm more inclined to this. I don't know if I really feel that way. So I guess maybe I missed out on the blessing package, you know, kind of a thing. Or how does this work with this concept of being given the gifts and the talents, but also this concept of women choosing to act in certain ways? Does my question make sense?
I'm thinking it's similar to the men in the church. They're endowed with different gifts, and sometimes they choose to act on those and they choose not to act on those. Isn't it wonderful that they're complementary gifts? That's what kept coming through my mind as I was watching this interchange between the two of you, thinking of the gifts that you have and the gifts that, you know, other. I just think it's inspiring to think that we have an opportunity to use the gifts we have, but we have the opportunity to choose to act on them or not to act upon them.
I love this.
I think women tend to be drawn to emotional issues, somewhat the feeling side of things. That's a stereotype to say that men aren't and women are, but I think we do have a tendency to be interested in how something is affecting a person's emotions, and that's what draws us in, and we want to know more, and we want to know how you're feeling about this, how are you reacting to this, and sometimes men are just kind of floating more on the surface of what happened or rather than the emotional response to things. But I think I don't know that we are acting upon it as much as we're just truly interested. How is this affecting you? And tell me more what's going on in your life. And
I believe that too. And I believe women are genuine about it. And isn't that beautiful balance? Isn't it great that we are different?
Oh, it is.
It creates for children a balance in their lives. And that difference, that unique difference about us, is such a blessing for children.
I agree. What a blessing for children and all individuals.
These are wonderful thoughts we're listening to. The thought that just came to my mind is, isn't it wonderful that we have that gift, but sometimes our gifts get the best of us. And sometimes we have such a nurturing and such a giving nature that we go over the top with it and we can't find balance. We give and give and give until we are emotionally exhausted. And how wonderful to have a husband in the home. It's not always the case, but where that ideal is there, sometimes the husband can say, you're overdoing it. You need to step back. And he can see things for what they are in a different perspective that is a blessing. And vice versa. Sometimes,
yes.
Like you said with Lisa, you know, she will say, did you ask? See how that's working together so beautifully. So sometimes our strengths become our weaknesses, but to have someone to be a checks and balances is a beautiful part of Heavenly Father's plan.
This is such an excellent comment. And as a matter of fact, I like the way you phrase that, the checks and balances, to help us to be able to understand and to see both roles, gifts, opportunities, circumstances, see other people. I like this, checks and balances. So let me draw upon your experience on this. What are other checks and balances that would help women dealing with different issues? Linda, you brought up the experience of just dealing with the busy life. And I remember Elder Jeffrey R. Holland once speaking about motherhood, saying one of the greatest challenges is fatigue.
It really is. It really is. We all know that fatigue. So I was thinking on the way in here, how can we help those who are just exhausted? I especially had single moms on my mind and
yes.
In my heart. And I have seen it up close and personal in many different instances, and my heart goes out to those who struggle with that, and they're doing their best just to keep their head above water and food on the table and a smile on their face for their children. And I was reminded of the tools that we have today. The internet can be such a distraction, but it can be such a blessing for a mom that's on her way to work if she can listen for 5 minutes to a conference talk to lift her up and keep that eternal perspective. We have prophets, seers, and revelators. As I've been reading their words this last couple of days in preparation for this, I've just been rejoicing that they know what's on our minds and in our hearts. They're trying to lift and bless us and take us to a new place.
I really like this. As a matter of fact, as you're speaking, I was thinking of a personal experience I had just last week. And I hope this doesn't come across as a shameless plug because it's not intended to be at all. It was for my daughter-in-law. And she just left a phone message on my telephone saying, Dad, I'm just out mopping the floor. And so she was doing her kitchen and she said, and I am listening at the same time to Gospel Solutions for Families. and then she started getting a little emotional actually. And she said, I am so grateful that we have things like this because when I am about my daily tasks in the grind of just doing A, B, and C, I have found that if I listen to things that are inspiring, that lift my soul, then everything around me seems to take on a little better approach. Yeah, I don't feel like I'm so overwhelmed. As a matter of fact, I find purpose in doing chores. Mm-hmm. And so when you're saying listening to conference talks or whatever, there's so many great tools out there. This was really intriguing to me is this, she was not alone. I've received other emails and about that is when I'm ironing, when I am jogging, when I am running, when I am doing A, B, it didn't matter. When I'm driving, I am listening to different things that lift and inspire my soul and cause me to want to be more. Not necessarily do more, but be more. Any thoughts on that? I thought that was fascinating.
What you just said, I think, is so critical because what it does is it takes the weight or desire to have confidence in ourselves and we put our confidence in the Lord. And that's when our hearts change. And all of a sudden, we're immersed in the love and confidence in Him that carries us through the mundane activities of our life. And it carries us through the hurdles and the trials. And the Lord is there at all times, just waiting for us to help us through these times. I, too, am concerned about the balance that women are searching for in their lives, and it is a minute by minute. You cannot,
didn't say day by day. You went right, straight to minute by minute.
It is, and those priorities are available to choose from.
This is good. So tell me more about this balance. How do we achieve this? We talk about this all the time in the church of balancing, and it's interesting to me of way some people understand it. So are you saying 25% here, 25% here, 25%? How do we do this balance? Because I believe there's an element here that's so important.
I think it's so easy to lose our perspective, and especially when you're in the trenches. I have five daughters who are all in that stage where they have young children. And I think that's one of the most difficult stages of life because it's easy to lose your perspective and forget, you know, when everything's just kind of in chaos around you with small children. Why are we doing this? What's the big picture here? And I love what you said about this constant nourishing. We do need constant reminders to draw us back and remind us that we are raising children of our Heavenly Father for a greater purpose here. And it's not just about the spilled milk and the dirty diapers and the floor that needs to be mopped. It's about the big picture of who are these children to become and what do I need to keep doing to nurture them in that pathway. And I love that we have so many resources available to us now. We talked about how social media and what's available online can be both a blessing and a curse in our lives. But I believe that most women are using it to bless their lives, to keep that constant nourishment and reminder of who they are and what they're doing.
This is really good. As a matter of fact, I like this kind of ties in to what we're talking about. And I really like the concept is if you have an inclination, a desire, a gift, if you will, to nurture, to be compassionate, to support, etc., if you have that tendency, but I like what you were saying, Bonnie, is you also choose to use these tools appropriately. So there's that element of you have a desire, but choose so that you're not overwhelmed by the tool, but choose to use it appropriately. There's that choice and agency. Linda?
I was thinking back to choice and agency again, too. Sister Wixon mentioned that the Lord wants to help us, but we have to choose to want to have his help. He's not going to force it on us. And so as we make these little daily choices, these small and simple things in the moment, you know, I will do something to connect my soul to my Heavenly Father and use that choice to connect to him, then it opens the floodgates. He's allowed, he can bless us the way he would like to when we put ourselves in that position.
This is super good. As a matter of fact, I think of, when you're speaking, I couldn't help but think of DNC section 25, revelation given to the prophet Joseph Smith, really directed towards his wife, Emma. And you have that famous experience there where it talks about her being an elect lady. And by all means, she, in my opinion, was an amazing woman in many different ways, going through many struggles, which many of us, I don't think, can truly understand or comprehend all of the aspects of those struggles. But it's interesting to me, a line that Joseph said much later, it was really when it was getting ready for the Relief Society to be established. And so much later, he talked about being an elect person, and he talked about Emma being an elect woman. And there's a line there that talks about being elect, not simply because they were chosen to be elected, but because they elect to follow in the footsteps of God, as other faithful women have done in the past. Mm. So there's that interesting concept, mm-hmm. is foreordination, or at least the concept of blessings beforehand, but then saying, now I need you to walk. And I like this, is they are electing to be elect. This is amazing. We should cheer. We should throw confetti. We can't throw confetti over the
radio. We should have a video of your face.
I just love this concept, because sometimes I come across children, young girls and young women, and women are already feeling the effects of the fallen world around them. They're hearing the voices of the world, the pressures of the world. And as a result, it seems to dilute, overwhelm the vision of who they are and who they can become. So what can we do to help individuals in that situation, young girls, young women, women of the church, to be able to really feel who they are and catch that vision?
I think that's the question I get the most as young women general president of the church, is people say to me, what is your greatest concern for the young women of the church? And you just said it. It's the pull of the world and the philosophies of the world, and they're very enticing. And they're very logical sounding, and it's just so easy to get drawn into it. And so I think the antidote for that is to keep our eye on preparing to make covenants with our Heavenly Father. It's the covenants in the temple that are going to keep us bound to him. And if we can keep our young women focused on the temple and the preparing to go to the temple and the covenants they've already made at baptism, I think that will help strengthen them.
This is good. I also love the fact of the experience with the young women's motto when they stand and recite. And in our stake, there's a, you know, how traditions start with different areas, but whenever they do this, they usually, one young woman will stand up and say, who will stand for truth and righteousness? And then all the young women and leaders will stand up and start reciting together. The first time I heard this, is it was so compelling. This young woman stood up and she said it with such great emotion. Who will stand for truth and righteousness? I stood up. I was a little embarrassed because I was a rookie at it, but it was so compelling. I wanted to stand up.
I haven't heard that, but I love it.
Oh,
you're
too.
Welcome to stand up and declare
Thank you. Yeah. Without any guilt, right?
With no guilt.
Because I was so moved by this. As I thought, I'll stand for this. And I stood up. And then when they started to recite, although I am familiar with that, and I thought maybe it would be inappropriate, but I love the fact of a unified voice almost speaking back to the world, saying, oh, wait, hold on a second. Oh, no, you can say what you want, but we're not going to go without a fight. Any other thoughts, Linda?
That just reminds me of an experience I just had in the Philippines a couple of weeks ago. We were in a newspaper interview with a woman, and we were trying to describe what the organizations of the women in the church were about, and came to talking about the young women, talking about every week we stand and we recite a theme. And all of a sudden, Sister McConkie and I just burst out and we started reciting the theme. And there it's the area president and his wife, and they're saying, we're almost on our feet talking to this woman, she's just overwhelmed that here we were saying it with such fervor because we meant it. We are daughters of our Heavenly Father who loves us, and we do love Him. And it doesn't change when we're in Relief Society. We still feel that. In fact, we are daughters in His kingdom by,
that's right,
by choice. We have entered the waters of baptism. We are in His kingdom. We're not of, we're in. We are already in both feet. In a letter from the First Presidency, they've told us that we are beloved daughters. They've taken it one step further. We're not just daughters. We are beloved daughters of our Heavenly Father, and we're devoted disciples. If we can remember who we are, reminds me of my dad used to always say, remember who you are. Remember who you are, and remember who you ought to be.
That's so
we can
good.
Remember that. We can keep our feet grounded and not lose that.
This is like my wife. She stands out to add upon that. There's variations of this. She'll yell, stand up straight and smile and remember who you are. and we've even had experiences where she would do this every single day, where sometimes the neighborhood kids on one experience where she didn't say it. I guess they were in a hurry. And the neighborhood kids said, Mrs. Richardson, aren't you going to say stand up straight and smile and remember who we are? We're children of God. We're loved. And she has this whole thing she goes through. I just love that. Rosemary?
And I want to build on that because for years we have sung, or children sing the song, I am a child of God.
Yes.
Well, it's a new day. They need to understand, because I am a child of God,
ooh, I like
therefore
this.
What? I can stand as a witness of Jesus Christ. It's not just who we are. It's because of who we are, what we can do to contribute, to build the kingdom. And children can understand that concept. They can now act upon what they know to be true.
I love this. As a matter of fact, they can act with confidence, right?
Yes.
Because of who they are, when things are difficult in the world, or when even our Father in Heaven asks difficult things of us, or circumstances, as we pointed out, may be overwhelming, individuals can act appropriately or with confidence because of who they are and who they will become. Is that fair?
And if mothers remember that, because I am a child of God, because I am a beloved daughter of Heavenly Father, I will show my children that they are children of God because they are.
Well, this is great.
Keeping that perspective again, remembering that when your children are driving you crazy, that they're children of God.
Yeah, and even to expand upon that is young women are children of God, and even your neighbors are children, and the people you're visiting, teaching, or et cetera, are all, and I love what you said to emphasize that, they're all beloved of our Father in Heaven in every circumstance, in every situation, in every area. And therefore, if we will act upon those inherent gifts appropriately, then they too have the chance to become elect within that site. Well, I am sad to say, but we're out of time for this episode. But fortunately, we have another episode where we will continue to discuss how we can sustain and support women. I appreciate all that you've said, and I appreciate the way that you have said this. I think that's very important. So thank you very much for your insights. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.